Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, a scary interview with Ty Cobb, former special assistant to President Ronald Reagan, talking about national security and North Korea in particular. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Ty Cobb. He's a former special assistant to President Reagan for national security. Kim Jong-un does it again.
Yes, another successful launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile. That indicates they can hit with some degree of accuracy not only Hawaii, but the western United States, and we believe by next year, Washington, D.C.
And we can do that because, according to David Martin of CBS News, the way that they shot the rocket up, if it had been more horizontal than vertical, it could have traveled that distance.
That's correct. We say that they track the launch phase, which is significant and indicates that the missile rose to such a level that it could then fly extraordinary distances, at least to the western United States, and next year, we believe, eastern United States. And more importantly, it appears that they will be able to miniaturize a nuclear warhead sufficiently to place it on the ICBM.
Japan has called for an emergency meeting of the Security Council. In terms of sanctions, what more can actually be done at this point?
Economic sanctions are pretty much at the limit now. It is interesting that Japan is calling for this. They've been somewhat reticent, as has South Korea, of course, and China. We have not had a lot of support from other impacted nations in the region. Let's hope that the call for UN action by Japan indicates a more serious resolve to work together on this common threat of North Korea. That means China, South Korea, Japan, and the U.S., maybe Russia working together.
Are we going to see, do you believe, an increased militarization of the region with Japan now having had two missiles, one actually going over their country, one landing near them? That we're going to see an increased militarization in Japan?
I think what you're going to see is more seriousness on the part of Japan for defenses against a potential missile attack. You are probably also going to see agreement to work with the United States, which is the only power that has the ability to inflict serious damage on North Korean missile launcher sites, that both Japan and I believe South Korea will be more interested in even considering what we would not have thought possible just weeks ago, a preemptive strike. Yes, a preemptive strike.
China has got to be looking at this and just distraught because none of this is what they need.
That's right. No matter what happens, it's not good for China. In the event of a preemptive nuclear strike against the North Korean sites would probably unleash hundreds of thousands of refugees moving not just to South Korea, but into China. It's the last thing that China really wants. There is no scenario that we can look at that makes China feel comfortable.
And also the increased militarization moving toward China, if in fact the U.S. and its allies
That's right.
move toward the North Korean border.
That's correct, Sam, because we've already had instances of friction between China and the United States because of our deployments in the South China Sea, where China has indicated that there are areas that they declare sovereignty over, which we don't recognize, and we've sailed through, indicating that we do not recognize their you know, claims on these small islands, and suddenly they're 12 miles around the island are Chinese territory. So in the midst of all of this, there is continuing tension and friction with China and the United States.
All right. So if we take a step back,
yes,
what is it going to take for North Korea to have a seat at the table to stop their program? Because if you look at the current leader, his father, his grandfather, right, none of them were suicidal.
We don't know. We have a fairly dangerous situation at the present time because we believe Kim Jong-un does not really have checks on his power to launch a missile strike soon with nuclear warheads. We don't believe that there is a consultative council, for example, of senior military leaders who would caution him because of the devastation that a retaliatory strike would bring. Others worry that the same impulse may exist in Washington with the current president, Donald Trump, who has indicated that he is going to take unilateral action against what he calls Rocket Man and the nuclear sites. So we have a very difficult situation now. Thank God there are people like General Mattis, Secretary of Defense, Tillerson at State, and Jones and others advising the president with considerable military background and diplomatic, as well as international business. But whether or not the councils on both sides can restrain the leaders is a cause for great concern.
And there's been discussion recently, you know, and let's include General Kelly into this, that, you know, if the president were to order something that the generals felt was the wrong thing to do, that they could, you know, rebel.
Not really. The law is pretty clear that the president has the authority to order the launch of a nuclear strike. The next in the chain of command is the Secretary of Defense. Secretary Mattis does not have the authority to countermand the order saying, I believe it's an illegal order. He can say, I refused to carry out this action, in which case the president has the authority to replace him. And we go back to the Nixon era with Elliot Richardson and that scenario. But the people that have studied this have made it clear that only the president has authority to launch the nuclear strike, and nobody in the chain of command has the power or the authority to say that that's an illegal order.
Where do you think this is going to end up?
I would not rule out the conclusion that would be reached by the highest circles of the United States National Security Advisors, as well as perhaps from China, Japan, maybe Russia, that there is no alternative other than a devastating nuclear strike on North Korean facilities.
The problem is that they have so many mobile launchers that the odds of us being able to get all of those without some devastating attack at minimum on South Korea.
Well, that's quite correct. Any kind of an attack by the U.S. cannot be pinpoint. There's no way we can launch missiles against a designated North Korean ICBM site and just destroy that. If we really want to be sure, we're probably going to have to launch nuclear weapons, and they will not be pinpoint accuracy, but cover a wide area, in which case the downward distance hazard of the radiation will immediately go into large parts of China, certainly South Korea and Russia.
And you don't believe that there's the possibility that there could be conventional weapons, probably mainly because of the closeness of the South Korean capital, Seoul?
Yes, it's only, what, 18, 20 miles away. You could, you know, I imagine the Joint Chiefs right now are looking the operational plans over again to see if conventional weapons could be utilized to the extent that you'd have confidence they would take out the North Korean capability to launch a devastating missile strike. My guess, and a strictly guess, is that the Joint Chiefs would conclude that no, if you are going to launch a preemptive attack, it must be nuclear.
You come from a diplomatic background. Are there back channels going at this point in time?
I wish that I could say that I know that there were, Sam, but I do not see that there is any dialogue going on between North Korea and the United States, certainly. And most disappointingly, there does not seem to be any communication between Pyongyang and Beijing, which is really the key to settle this. China is the most important player in this equation, the one with the most influence over North Korea. They haven't stepped up to the plate and exercised that authority, that influence. They need to.
In military terms, we tend to think of, you know, if you look at recent wars that we've been involved in, weeks, if not months of buildup before the first bullets, tanks, military arrive. Do you think that this is something that perhaps is days or weeks away?
No, I do not see that there is anything that would indicate a calculated strike by the West, by the United States, principally at this time. But you make a good point. If there is a strike, unlike in the past, there would not be a D-Day type months of buildup of forces in that area. It would probably be a strike without warning.
At this point in time, do we still have those carrier groups in Asian waters that we had when the president was visiting China?
Yes. I think the Eisenhower and the Enterprise, I think
there were three carrier groups.
Three carrier groups in that region, and at least two are still there, which is an irritant, by the way, with China.
Right.
But I think we have to explain to them that should there be the necessity of military action, that's what these carrier groups are there for. They pose no threat to China.
And you're talking with just two carrier groups, 150 F-18s between those two aircraft carriers.
Well, not just you're talking about the capability of launching strikes with the aircraft on board, but remember, there are a number of ships as part of the carrier groups, many of them the destroyers, which are carrying weapons of mass destruction that can also be launched. So the carrier groups represent a significant component of strike power beyond just the aviation.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ty Cobb when we come back.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ty Cobb, former Special Assistant to President Reagan for National Security. What in the world is going on in Saudi Arabia? And it's not just what we're hearing about now, but this has been going on for several months now, correct?
What has happened is a generational transition in Saudi Arabia away from the older reigning monarch to the next generation and the generation beyond that. The prince, who will be likely assuming power when Salman dies, has indicated a great deal more flexibility in dealing with what the Saudis have traditionally seen as their adversaries in the region. And I think we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg here, Sam. When the next generation comes in, I think we're going to see wholesale change, not just internally, where suddenly women are allowed to drive cars and don't have to wear the veil, which I think are significant, but in terms of the foreign policy of the region.
Give me for example there.
If you're sitting in Saudi Arabia, you have two major adversaries that you're concerned about. One is Israel, and the other is Iran. If I'm a Saudi prince and ascending to the throne and realizing how weak my state is because it's not a very large one in population, and given that decline in oil prices over the last few years, my coffers, my treasury is depleted, I can't continue to fight a multi-front war against Iran, against Israel, and against various groups, including Hezbollah in Lebanon. I think the Saudis will decide that their primary enemy is Iran and the Shia version of the Muslim religion, and that they will try to make arrangements with Israel Netanyahu to stabilize that front.
And it's been very interesting in his conversations with Thomas Friedman of the New York Times, talking about the number one thing was locking up all of these Saudi princes and business people because there's been so much corruption over the years. And they've got, I mean, they're locked up in the Ritz-Carlton, but at the same time, you're talking about very wealthy people, and he's planning to get money back from these people to put back into the treasury. And the general public seems to be very supportive of this. In addition, he seems to be pulling away from the Wahhabi part of Islam, which would modernize Saudi Arabia. And his point was that if you look back in recent history, women were allowed to wear normal clothing. They were not having to wear the hijab. And so he's looking for a different kind of Islam that is more mainstream. How do you think that's going to go? Because the Wahhabi structure has been so powerful.
Well, you make two big points here. The first one is that the prince has clearly launched a strike against competing interests internally on the guise of corruption. I don't mean to say that there isn't corruption, but I think he is looking at the multiple areas of authority and the various princelings that represent challenges to him and his ability to change Saudi Arabia and modernize the country. And so, yes, there is corruption and it's widespread, and but he's also eliminating a lot of potential rivals to his authority. Secondly, as he seeks to have a more balanced foreign policy, that is, with the overtures to Israel, I think he's looking for support internally, realizing that those clerics that represent the more extreme form of Islam, the Wahhabis, have to be neutralized, and he's the strike is going against them and what they stand for, including the restrictions on women's rights.
Well, one of the things that was interesting in the last 48 hours was that one of the people he imprisoned was one of the wealthiest business people and somebody incredibly well-connected around the world. And this is at the same time that they are trying to sell off a portion of the Saudi oil company, Aramco, and make it a public company, raising hundreds of billions of dollars. And the world's financial institutions are looking at what's going on, and there seems to be some concern that might not go through the way that they were hoping because of this one particular businessman who's one of the richest people in Saudi Arabia.
That's quite correct. I think the Prince Salman, his ability to achieve these ambitious objectives is in question. And he's taken on not just one or two of the princelings, but many of those who exercise great power and having enormous wealth and can cause him serious problems. My guess, Sam, is that the Crown Prince has, before he made his moves, ascertain that he does have the support of the military and the moderate clerics in the country to support him in his strikes against the aristocracy and the wealth in the country and those who hold enormous power because they are clerics.
More with Ty Cobb on Foreign Affairs when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ty Cobb. He's a former special assistant to President Reagan for national security issues. Did you ever think that publicly you would see a day when Israel and Saudi Arabia were aligned?
No. One would hope that that's the case, but now the with the Crown Prince and Prime Minister Netanyahu are going to meet, it's clearly a new day and an alignment against radical Islam in the form of the Shia, which is espoused by Iran. And so that's going to enable this prince to try to neutralize the power of Iran and Hezbollah in Lebanon. And it's largely because of the defeat in this region of the ISIS, which is the more radical form of the Sunni side of the religion, which some of us fear has made the region safe for Iranian expansion. And so the prince is saying, okay, we've checked ISIS. Now I got to put the brakes on anything that Tehran may want to do.
The one ace in the hole, which, of course, Israel never publicly discusses, is that Israel does have nuclear weapons.
Oh, Sam, they do?
I only read it somewhere. I believe it was the New York Times.
No, they deny they have 54 nuclear weapons.
Exactly. And you can count them.
Yeah.
Ty Cobb, thank you, sir. A serious discussion, but we really appreciate it. Great information.
Thanks for all you do, Sam.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
On our next broadcast, Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Burtbegler. We'll see you then.